Well, once again, it's a joy to be here with you, and happy Lent to you all. We have a good crowd. I think we probably even have some people in overflow, so we're pretty full. I think we do have some seats kind of on the ends in here. If, you know, some of you standing want to come and sit down, or we do have overflow seating as well. You're more than welcome to check that out. But yes, here we are, this marvelous season of Lent. And it's just it's an amazing gift that the Lord gives us, right? Because he didn't have to do any of this, right? We sinned against him. He could have obliterated us, right? You're done. But in his grace and his mercy, he gives us so much. As a matter of fact, he gives us everything. And the holy season of Lent reminds us, yes, of our sinfulness, but ultimately puts into focus the great mercy and love that the Lord has for us. And so that's why we're here tonight. That's why we still exist. And that's why we're here tonight. And that's how we usher in this wonderful season of Lent. What a beautiful gift it is. And of course, you know, Jesus gives us kind of the prescription for prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. But let's not go there right away. Huh? Let's start out with what Joel has to say here. Or the Lord speaking through Joel, right? Joel's one of the prophets. And the Lord is encouraging the people, right, to get real. To get real, to stop paying lip service, to stop living in sin and darkness, and to start living in the Lord's light. That's what he's getting at here. Rend your hearts, not your garments. The Pharisees would have their robes, and they would rip their robes, and like, oh, I'm outraged. All this, but nothing was changing inside, right? They weren't changing their lives, as they weren't really letting the Word of God become flesh within them and inform them so that they could make changes in and through his grace. And walk in his beauty, walk in his glory. So that's what he means by rend your hearts. Open up your heart to receive the goodness of the Lord. Allow him to purge out that darkness. So yes, friends, let us rend our hearts, not our garments, and return to the Lord our God. And then Joel talks about how gracious and merciful he is, slow to anger, rich in kindness, relenting in punishment. Right? That's where God is. He's not some taskmaster wagging a finger at us. He's giving us opportunities. Yes, he calls us to a certain standard, but only so that we can be free of ourselves and the darkness of the world. Sometimes we think, oh, he's just, you know, this taskmaster, right? But no. Gracious and merciful is he, slow to anger, rich in kindness, relenting in punishment. He could wipe us out right now, but he doesn't. Because he loves us, every single one of us. He wants us to be with him in glory. So that's, Joel's kind of talking about personal conversion there, right? That's where it starts, our relationship with the Lord. That's where it needs to start. Allowing him to draw us deeper and deeper into his loving embrace. Farther and farther away from our sinfulness and darkness. And then Joel gets to kind of the evangelization piece, right? Blow the trumpet, proclaim a fast. Tell your friends, tell your family about it. Bring them to the Lord, right? It's time to proclaim a fast. This is a season of fasting, right? A season when we let go of ourselves only so that we can be more full of our Lord. So let us go tell our friends and family about it. That's what Joel is kind of getting at here, right? Don't just keep it inside on a personal level. No. Bring others into this same beautiful dynamic with the Lord. There's a line here at the end that really kind of struck me today. I don't think it has before. So Joel's talking about this. Okay, personal conversion. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Go and gather the people. Bring many others in for this goodness. Tell them the good news. And then say, spare, O Lord, your people, and make not your heritage a reproach with the nations ruling over them. With the nations ruling over them. That's a little phrase that really caught me. How often do our sins rule over us? Maybe not nations, but our sins. We just let them kind of run roughshod over us, right? They kind of control us. The tail wags the dog, so to speak. It doesn't have to be that way, friends. That's what the Lord is getting at here. It doesn't have to be that way. We just have to rend our hearts, open up for his goodness, and then allow him to lead us into his glory. Now, of course, that's what Paul is all about in this wonderful second reading. This is kind of a marvelous verse from chapter 5. Well, I guess it goes into chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. And what Paul's talking about is we don't have to sit around on our hands and wait for this special time for the Lord to come. The Jews were always kind of waiting for the Messiah, waiting for things to happen. Well, the Messiah's already come. He's already come. He died and he rose again for us. And that's what Paul's getting at. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Don't wallow around in your sins. Don't be run roughshod by your own sins, right? That's what he's talking about here. We implore you to be reconciled to God. The only thing that's holding you and me back from being reconciled to God is our own selves. God's not holding back at all. It's just us. To the extent that we resist his mercy and his grace, we can't be reconciled. Paul talks about, so he quotes the Old Testament. In an acceptable time I heard you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Then he says, behold, now. It's right now, friends. Now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord wants to lift us up and reconcile us, fill us, inebriate us with his love right now. He doesn't want us to wait next week, next month, end of Lent, 10 years from now, right now. Right now is the time. That's beautiful. That's exciting. You can sense the excitement that Paul has. And he's imploring everybody. He's imploring us in this day and age, dude, be reconciled to God. Okay, so what are we supposed to do then? Now, that's where Jesus comes in, right? That's what Jesus is urging us to do here in the gospel passage, where he gives the famous proclamation. This is Matthew chapter 6. So it's the Sermon on the Mount. And this is where we get prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, right? He's showing us the way. He's showing us how to do it. And we won't get too deeply into exactly what he's saying, but the gist of it is, don't do these things for show, right? Like the hypocrites would do, you know, they're, oh, I'm giving alms, and they would have somebody playing a trumpet or something. And, oh, I'm fasting, so I have a shaggy beard, and I look unkempt so the people think, oh, this guy's having a rough time. No, we don't want to call attention to ourselves. It's all about personal conversion. What's going on in the inside is what matters. Remember, rend your hearts, not your garments. So that's really what Jesus is getting at here. Don't perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your Heavenly Father. Now, prayer. So what does that mean? What is the Lord urging us to do? Well, I encourage you to take that to prayer. Ask the Lord, what is your will for me, this land, Lord? How do you want to amaze me? How can I open up more deeply to your love in my prayer life? And so, yes, we give up things in Lent. We'll get to that here in a minute, but we're supposed to add as well. Add prayer practices. Highly recommend at least one good confession during the holy season of Lent. It's almost 7 weeks, so there's plenty of time to make even more than one, but at least one good confession. Make a good examination of conscience and allow the Lord to draw you in to that wonderful sacrament of victory and freedom. Come to Mass on Sundays. That's just the base requirement. And holy days. And also, come to daily Mass if you can. Trust me, you're not going to die if you come to daily Mass. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's beautiful. Beautiful. So if you're able to come, come. It's just absolutely wonderful. A number of places have noon Masses. We kind of don't have, because the other two parishes do have noon Masses. We have some in the morning, some in the evening. So we have Masses at various different times, no matter what classes you have, times, or what work and whatnot. The Mass is available to you. Strongly encourage you. Each week, maybe just come to one daily Mass if you can. More if you're able. There's various other ways. You can come to Eucharistic Adoration. You could pray the rosary each day. You could, some way to amplify your prayer practices. It's just essential for going out into the desert of Lent with the Lord. So the Lord leaves it up to you, but amp up your prayer life. That's basically what he's saying, because that's the conversation. That's how you grow deeper in love with him, is through prayer. Of course, the liturgy is the ultimate prayer, but personal prayer as well. So there's prayer, then there's fasting. Why is the Lord calling us to fast? Because we're depriving ourselves of things, again, so we can be filled with him, depending less and less on ourselves, more and more on him. That's the true Christianity, is depending completely on him. And that's what we're called to. And when we deprive ourselves of things, especially food, we love our food, don't we? So you're supposed to give up something that you like. Maybe I even said this last year at Ash Wednesday, when I was like 9 or 10 years old, I thought I was pretty cute. I gave up rutabagas. I still think to this day I've never eaten a rutabaga. So, like, come on. You know, what are you doing? Give up something that you like. You like chocolate cake? Give up chocolate cake, right? Or, you know, something along those lines. Again, it's not just some kind of personal dietary practice. It's so you can depend more and more on the Lord. That's why it's got to have some kind of a sting. You notice it. And then you reach out to the Lord. I really want my chocolate cake or whatever, Lord. Be with me. You know, I can't have it for another 40 days. That's the essence of fasting, of course. So prayer, fasting, and then almsgiving. What does almsgiving mean? It means giving the goods that the Lord has blessed you with, giving them to people that don't have as much as you do. Now, it could be more on a peer-to-peer level, but really the essence of it is giving to people that have less resources than you do. Now, we're supposed to do that all year long. We're supposed to pray and do some level of fasting too, because they're wonderful Christian practices, but we really amp it up during the holy season of Lent. And so almsgiving in a very particular way speaks to the corporal and works of mercy, right? I don't have them all memorized off the top of my head, but it's clothe the naked, reach out in various ways to those that are in need. So we're meant to do that, and I encourage you to make a part of your prayer life. Lord, how do you want me to reach out to the poor in a more radical way this Lent, right now, today, tomorrow? How are you calling me to do that, Lord? And he's going to take you a little outside of your comfort zone. Follow him there. That's the path to redemption. That's what Paul's getting at. This is the day of salvation. Follow the Lord. Walk with him. Right? So that's just a little primer on prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. You'll hear more about various different offerings. We amp up our offerings too for prayer and almsgiving. Fasting is more of a personal thing during Lent. And so you have many opportunities within our parish. If you're coming from other parishes, I trust that there's different things that are going on there too. But we encourage you to join us. Stations of the Cross is a tried and true practice, right? Especially focused on during Lent. You can find that here. We have our Eucharistic book that we're going to read to draw us deeper into the Eucharist. It's going to be a wonderful Lent, brothers and sisters. And I hope you embrace this opportunity, because the Lord wants to make it your best ever. That's the case every year. He wants it to keep getting better and better and better. But like I always say, why? Because he wants us to burst forth with him in a resurrection glory like never before at Easter time. That's the whole point of Lent, so that we can rejoice. We deprive ourselves, yes, but Christianity is all about the victory that Christ won. But it only comes through the cross, right? Jesus didn't just magically resurrect. It came through the cross. From the cross leads us to the resurrection. So Lent takes us into that essence in a very beautiful and powerful way each year. And so, friends, again, it's a great joy to be here to celebrate Holy Mass with you and to begin this wonderful season with you. Let us journey together in earnest. Let us not let a moment of this whole season be wasted. Allow the Lord to rend your heart, purge out the darkness, and fill you with his glory. It's a beautiful dynamic, and he wants to do it each and every day of our lives, but yes, especially in the holy season of Lent. So let us keep saying yes, opening up ever more radically to the Lord, who gives himself radically to us in every way, every day. He's always saying yes. So let us just open up a little bit each day, more and more yes to him, and see where he leads us. See how he wants to amaze us. See how he wants to knock our socks off and inebriate us with his goodness. That's the essence of Lent. Let's get the job done.